This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, we are with Lynn Davis, Executive Director of Sonoran Glass School, a nonprofit, public access, educational organization whose mission is to inspire people of all ages to discover the wonder of glass art. Welcome, Lynn.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Lynn, I've just introduced Sonoran Glass School's what a little, but I've heard you stress an important point. It's essential to lead with the why. What is Sonoran Glass's why?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's very easy to walk in our door and the first thing you think about is glass, right? Glass is shiny, glass is colorful, glass can be hot and dynamic and really exciting. But I do think it's our what and it's our how. And our why is really about building community. Our why is about creating a place for convening. Our why is about supporting established and emerging artists.
Lynn, partnering and collaborating is a hot topic among Tucson arts and culture organizations. Funders love to see partnerships, and there is a reason for that. Why do you think collaborations are so important?
I think collaborations are an excellent way to make your programming more robust. We're all working with a relatively small toolkit. Tucson is a town without a lot of corporate sponsorship. Tucson is a town full of scrappy, amazing creative nonprofits. And when we're able to collaborate with each other, we have more tools in our box. You have access to a wider audience. You have access to skills that you might not have among your own staff. And you get the opportunity to really stretch yourself and expand what you're able to offer to your audience.
Absolutely. We don't all have to recreate the wheel.
No, not at all. And I think that we have lots of creative people with lots of great ideas who want to start new things. But I think it's really important to take a look around and see not only is someone already, you know, offering what it is you want to do, but is someone offering something similar? Or is there an umbrella organization out there that might embrace what it is you want to accomplish? And maybe start there, right? Start as a program, start as an outreach arm of Organization X, start as a special project before taking on the heavy lift of starting a new nonprofit.
And there are so many nonprofits in Tucson.
We are blessed with many, many, many nonprofits.
I wondered if you could tell us the story of a really healthy collaboration that would help us understand what it takes to partner fruitfully.
I think you have to start with communication and common goals. You have to know that your partners are capable and willing of doing what, you know, what you're asking of them, what you're all asking of each other. I would definitely start there. But a collaboration that I'm especially proud of, last year, 2018, was the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. And Kristallnacht is also known as the Night of Broken Glass, and it's often looked at as the advent of the Holocaust. It was a night of riots, pogroms throughout Eastern Europe. And we approached the Holocaust History Center of the Jewish History Museum, who is a neighbor of ours, right down the street, just south of downtown. So we approached the Holocaust History Center, and we approached the Tucson Jay, to work on a program that we called Remembering Kristallnacht, New Work from Broken Glass. And it started as an opportunity for upper middle and high school age students to do a docent-led tour of the Holocaust History Center, to come right down the street to us and do a hands-on project out of scrap glass, out of broken glass. We made mirror frames to inspire reflection. And then that work was going to go up in a month-long community-wide art show at the JCC. The J really did a beautiful job on their end. We put out a call to artists, a call to community artists, and invited them to respond to the theme as well. So the art show, the resulting art show, had dozens of participating artists along with, you know, younger kids and students. We also had a Shabbat dinner that included Holocaust survivors, a Shabbat dinner for 240 people. We had a beautiful day of programming with klezmer music and an artist talk and the show up in the gallery. And over the course of the semester, as we were doing this, we were approached by Jewish Family and Children's Services, Sharon Glassberg over there, who said, what about the survivors? How can we engage the survivors? How can we give them a piece of this? And that was just beautiful and amazing. We worked with members of our local Holocaust survivor community over about 3 days. We created a mosaic, a 2-foot by 6-foot mosaic mural with them that has the name of 72 of them, names and places of origin fused onto the glass. That was up in the art show at the J, and that now hangs in the lobby of Jewish Family and Children's Services. So the project absolutely exceeded, you know, our expectations. We engaged about 184 kids, in addition to the survivors, in addition to staff members from the JCC, and really got great feedback, buy-in, support from the community. I think people really responded to this contemporary approach to a historical issue that is still very timely and important. And it just, you know, it was more than we ever could have hoped for.
It's amazing, because if we return to that question of the why versus the what, or in addition to the what, it's way more than glass.
Absolutely.
Way, way more than glass.
Right.
Super intentional, very responsive to multiple partners.
Social justice focus. Yeah, and someone just asked me yesterday, so what are you doing this year? And I was like, I'm waiting for that next big idea. So if you're out there listening and you want to collaborate on something fantastic, call me. But we are, you know, we're waiting for the next big thing. You know, what we've found, or we find over and over, that glass is so dynamic, so malleable, so accessible to a wide range of populations. It's great for telling stories. It's great for expressing emotions, both in the making and in the exhibition. I'm very curious to see what the next, you know, creative out-of-the-box collaboration is going to be.
It makes me think about, actually, your collaboration with veterans. I love that collaboration, and I kind of have it on the brain right now, because a couple weeks ago, I was kept up at night because the police helicopter was circling around.
Yeah,
very close to my house. And what I found later was that a veteran had committed suicide close to where I live. And I read about him, a really great person who was just in an incredible amount of pain, mm-hmm. is what it sounded like. A really tragic story. And I actually thought immediately of your program and the healing power and the attraction of glass and fire. I wondered if you could talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the program you're referring to is called the 33rd Boro Platoon. 33 is the coefficient for borosilicate glass, which is Pyrex, essentially. The program was founded by a veteran by the name of Jeff Rutherford, who's an Iraq War vet, who came home full of anxiety, suffering from PTSD, really, really struggling to reintegrate into civilian life. And Jeff found his way to us through a semester-long glass blowing project that we have with Pima Community College. And Jeff credits glass with saving his life, and certainly with turning his life around. Glass is very, I mean, like a lot of mediums used in art therapy programs, glass is, like we said, unpredictable, malleable, can be open-ended, but it has those additional qualities of being a little bit dangerous. You have the opportunity, the ability to tame something chaotic and dangerous and turn it into something beautiful. And I think the unpredictable nature of glass, of hot glass especially, really appeals to veterans and even to children who have emerged from traumatic situations or who are living in chaotic environments. Glass, or, you know, any art, really, any space that you are carving, that you are setting aside for reflection, for creation, that you, something that makes you put down your phone and focus and listen to your inner voice for a change instead of all the noise around us, all those things, I mean, I think we all benefit from them and we all need them.
There was one more point about healthy partnerships that I wanted to make sure we got to, which is the partnership with this Fuerza Local program.
Yeah. Fuerza Local is a business development program from Local First Arizona. Local First is a wonderful organization. They're statewide, but we have a really robust Tucson chapter. They focus on small businesses. They focus on amplifying, celebrating small businesses in our community, encouraging people to bank local, shop local, make local. And they have a big sustainability focus as well. So they are a great resource if you're looking to re-examine your resource usage in your business. Fuerza Local is, so it's a business development class. All the students are from South Tucson, are adults from South Tucson, folks who already have small businesses who are looking to, you know, grow and improve them. And they're using our classroom one night a week, which is really wonderful. It's a trade for the moment, but who knows what it will become. You know, we really enjoy partnering with them because they have great energy, great ideas. It's a great group of people who are really looking to make our community a better place. And I think our small part in that is, you know, how do we make our neighborhood a better place? How do we reach out to the people who live right around, we're in between downtown and South Tucson, basically. We get people from all over the city, but do our neighbors know about us? You know, do our neighbors know what it is we're trying to do? So I think any sort of outreach in that direction is terrific.
And it's wonderful because it really maximizes the resources that are right in front of you. And it really shows the mission and the intentionality coming through in different ways.
Absolutely. And it also shows an open-mindedness. I think it's so easy, you know, we're all busy, we're all working, you know, small staff, not enough resources, yada, yada. And it's very easy to say, well, why would I do that? Why would I reach out to this person? That's not our mission. That's not our audience. That's not our people. But it is, and, you know, and it should be. I think a very important element, you know, a very important piece of being successful as especially a smaller nonprofit is to not get caught up in that scarcity mindset. You have to think expansively. You have to think that you have enough. You have to acknowledge that this is not a zero-sum game. Rising tide lifts all boats, right? I mean, if you are doing your friend down the street a favor, it's going to come back. And that is, I mean, I think that's all part and parcel of not only a healthy nonprofit landscape in this town, but overall a healthy community.
Absolutely. And this brings me to a point that I wanted to make, that is, we can't collaborate if we're stuck in a competition mindset.
Exactly.
And our society, our economy, so much of what we're dealing with right now pits us against each other in this scarcity mindset, makes it difficult for us to do that paradigm switch. We have a society that romanticizes singular superheroes and doesn't really romanticize or find collaborating sexy, right? Mm-hmm. An organizer is not necessarily
right.
upheld as
right. No, you're right.
The sexiest person in the world, but that kind of work is so important. So we have a lot to unlearn. We need to be humble and practice being conveners and organizers and
absolutely.
Not get
it's so rewarding.
Oh, it's
I
so
mean,
rewarding.
You know, and it's not like it doesn't make less work all the time. Sometimes it is more work. You have to be willing and able to communicate. You have to be willing and able to listen. You have to make sure that you're all headed in the same direction, that you have a common goal in mind. I think it's easy to say, oh, I'll do it myself. It'll be simpler. But it will be more robust with more partners.
It's like the saying goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes, absolutely.
So you described some beautiful collaborations. What do you think are the obstacles to successful partnering, or can you think of any examples of where obstacles have made it more difficult for successful partnering?
I think it's very important to know your audience and to do all that you can to assure that there is an audience for what it is you're trying to do. It's great to have a vision. It's great to have passion, but you don't want to be, you know, selling that, speaking that into a vacuum. And so I think being able, and, you know, again, this isn't less work, But being able to engage in some design thinking, right? Trying something, evaluating the results, dialing back, trying it, you know, see if it doesn't work, try it again. To be able to be limber like that and flexible, I think is really crucial. You hate to see, you know, as scarce as resources can be, you don't want to see people wasting them. You want to see people working for good. You want to see people rewarded for the work they're doing. You want them to have the satisfaction of having that land on the right audience and having that work be celebrated. And so there is some, you know, there are things to do up front to maybe not ensure that success, but to definitely set it off on the right foot.
And to listen to the feedback.
Feedback is all important. Yeah. You know, to listen to and to listen for. You know, being a good listener is hard. It's hard. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise in your head. But you gotta be willing to listen.
And listening is not passive, it's active.
Indeed.
There are, as we mentioned, literally thousands of 501c3s registered in the city of Tucson. Could you tell us about the nonprofit life cycle and where Sonoran Glass is in that life cycle?
Sonoran Glass School is 18 years old. We were founded in 2001 by Tom Philibom, whose name many people in Tucson will recognize, co-founded by Tom Philibom and Dave Klein, who are both glass artists of some renown. And Sonoran Glass School, Sonoran Art Foundation at the time, was Tom's vision, was their vision for advancing the educational piece of glass art. Tucson has been a very rich landscape for glass artists in the last, you know, 30, 40 years. And I would say as an 18-year-old, we are in that adolescent phase a little bit, right? We've been a very by the bootstraps kind of place. Our board traditionally was very operations focused, bless their hearts. You know, if the cooler went out, there was typically a board member on the roof fixing the cooler. And that's awesome. And that that represents a lot of dedication. We have, though, been working on moving things into a more mature place, right? Putting more of the operations functions on the staff, on a professional staff, making the board or encouraging the board, nourishing the board, nurturing the board to be more governance focused and to look at more big picture things and long-term things for the school that will all, you know, make us healthier and ultimately more sustainable.
I think some organizations get really caught up on the all-volunteer point of pride, but we have to ask ourselves if that's really a sustainable place for an organization to
be. It's a tough gig.
I have one last question. We've talked a little bit about being responsive to our neighbors, being responsive to our community. One in four Arizona children lives in poverty, and one in four Tucsonans live in poverty. Could you talk to us about the programming for kids at Sonoran Glass?
We have a beautiful youth education program called the YEP, Youth Education Program, that takes glass arts into schools and brings kids onto our campus. And our focus has been our neighbors. Our focus has been Title I schools who have a high number of children who are eligible for free or reduced lunch. So that's an indicator of their economic status. We focus on what are called tuition-free charter or private schools. So schools like Imago Dei, schools like San Miguel, who are working with similarly disadvantaged populations. City High School is a neighbor. Funding for arts programming has really fallen prey to, well, A, budget cuts, but also this, you know, this chase for standards, this Common Core curriculum, this standardized testing, teaching to standards, teaching to standards, teaching to standards, and all those things, you know, like we were talking about before, the things that get pushed aside are the space for white space thinking, right? For just exploration, for reflection, for, you know, more introspective work. And so what we try to do, what we try to nibble away at is putting some of that arts programming, arts education back into schools, back into the classroom. We do that in a few different ways. The best way is to have kids come to us because they get to see working artists. They get to see a working art studio. It's I will wager that Sonoran Glass School is like few other things that they've ever seen. And when you get to see hot glass coming out of the furnace for the first time, it's very exciting. And it's even more exciting when you get to, you know, try it for yourself. So we love having kids and classes on our campus. We also, you know, we acknowledge that transportation is a challenge and a barrier for many educators. So we are more than happy to take our show on the road and go into classrooms. And that too happens in a few different ways. We can take warm glass projects where kids are working with scrap glass, like I mentioned before, and then take work back to school to fire it and return finished projects to them. We have two mobile glass blowing units, the Goat glass blowing on a trailer and the Toad torch working on a dolly. So we can take demonstrations of furnace glass blowing and torch working into a classroom. And we also have an amazing summer camp program where kids come to us for the full week. We also have an adult summer camp. I know you're asking about kids, but we love, you know, we found that there is a really curious, intrepid group of grown-ups out there as well. And we don't think kids should have all the fun. So we do a couple sessions of adult summer camp where people can come to us every night for a week and do the same sort of thing.
Well, I love how specifically you can talk about and identify that community investment that Sonoran Glass does, because with the need is there. And not to mention, when organizations want to compete for state and federal funding, being able to show what their community investment is super essential.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we really like doing long-term projects with a lot of these classrooms, 6 to 8 weeks. But what we found is that there are, again, sort of unexpected deliverables or gems that come out of that, right? You see team building, you see leadership skills, you see communication, you see project planning. And yes, you're working with glass, and this is ostensibly an art project, but it's also an opportunity to talk about a whole range of scientific topics and subjects as well. Glass gives you the opportunity to talk about opacity and transparency and where all these colors in glass come from and compatibility of their coefficients of expansion and contraction. So many life skills and leadership skills above and beyond, you know, what you're doing with your hands.
STEAM, maybe.
Absolutely. I would love, you know, a student in education at the U of A who needs a thesis project to work with us to codify the STEAM content, the science content in what we're doing, and to be able to look at state standards and say, look, you know, this activity satisfies that and this activity satisfies that. And that makes it easier for educators to justify, you know, coming and spending time and funds with us. So,
well, and how materials react is something that's important in understanding all kinds of arts and engineering. For example, I just attended the update on the public art assessment.
Yes.
For Tucson and Pima County. And what materials do well in our environment.
Absolutely.
And what materials don't do well in our high temperature environment.
Yeah.
Is a really important point that a lot of artists may or may not think of.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that you wanted to add, Lynn?
If you want more information, we are at www.sonoranglass.org. And again, we're just south of downtown Tucson, where 18th Street meets the Frontage Road.
Thank you very much for being with us today, Lynn.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County.